The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Thanet and Canterbury. Your PA service provides your 25th hour of the day, email marketing, diary management, press releases and much, much more for your small business. To find out more, follow them on Twitter at PinkSpag_Vicky, V-I-K-K-I-E, PinkSpag_Vicky. Thank you to Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Thanet and Canterbury for supporting the Business Bunker Show. We really do appreciate it. We've got another guest to talk to. We're going to catch up with the lovely Jules later in the show, and I've got some more emails to read. Do keep your tweets coming in. We'd love to hear from you. Tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. But I'll tell you what, I caught up with the lovely Gemma Wright of Black Swan PR. Let's hear what Gemma had to say.
It's a pleasure now to welcome into the bunker, for the very first time ever, Gemma Wright of Black Swan PR. Gemma, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on. What a lovely introduction.
Yeah, I nearly messed it up there. I had a blank moment, which I get quite a lot at my age these days, but we got there. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you. Why don't we kick off by you telling the listener a little bit about Gemma?
Okay, well, I've had quite a busy year in this whole pandemic that we've been living through. I have worked in PR for over 20 years now. For the last decade, I've been working as the head of PR at Leeds Castle in Maidstone.
Right.
And I was made redundant last year whilst I was 6 months pregnant with twins.
Oh,
so, yeah, I had an extraordinary 6 months. I'd been thinking a long time about sort of going freelance and launching my own freelance PR consultancy.
Right.
But to be honest, the work at Leeds Castle kept me so busy, I just hadn't had the time to juggle kids, life, work. And this really gave me the opportunity to take the plunge, so to speak, and kick off my own business, which is what I've been doing, really since October.
Fantastic. Well, there's a lot of stuff to cover there already. Blimey, where to start? First and foremost, how are the twins?
They're good, thank you. They're 4 months old now, a girl and a boy.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, we've also got two boys. So we've got a 4- and a 6-year-old who I was homeschooling as well for the last couple of months, as I'm sure many
you've not been busy at all then, really, have you?
It's been a juggling act.
But, yeah, I can imagine.
A very interesting one, yeah.
Can I just ask, I'm just fascinated by this, is there a history of twins in the family, or was it a surprise?
Well, so this is the thing, my husband is a twin.
Ah, right, okay.
Although I was told repeatedly by midwives that because he's not an identical twin, it's not genetic. So apparently it's all my own fault that we ended up with two instead of one.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
But if you ask me, it's my husband's fault, as is everything that happens.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Gemma. I blame him. What's his name?
Chris,
yeah, it's your fault, Chris.
quite right.
Okay, just briefly, I'm sure you don't really want to dwell on it, but Leeds Castle is a fascinating place, and it must have been really exciting working there on something like Leeds Castle and all the things that go on there, you know, not least the fact that it's a historic site, but as everyone knows, it's well known for the classical concert and all the other stuff that happened. I mean, there's loads of stuff that happens at the castle.
That's right, yeah. I mean, I had the best 10 years of my life there. Yeah. It's a great place to be, great place to visit, you know, and I will continue to go back there with the kids now as a mum rather than anything else, but no, so much goes on. You know, 10 years ago when I started working there, it was just a visitor attraction. They didn't have any of the other stuff going on, and in those last 10 years that I've spent there, we've launched the bed and breakfast and the rest of the accommodation. Weddings have really taken off, you know, falconry, and the birds have always been there, but that's grown, and now they do experiences. There's a huge amount of stuff that you know, the golf course, the concert, as you mentioned, is a real kind of highlight in the calendar every year. Obviously, sadly, it couldn't take place last year, but we're all really hopeful for this July. Mm. So some incredible things that go on there.
Absolutely. Interestingly, or not, depending on your point of view, I actually stayed in the castle. I actually hired the castle itself. This was this was 20 odd years ago, and I stayed in the castle, and I stayed in what was the king's bedroom in the castle.
And, wow.
Not long after that, they stopped doing it, and I don't know if it was something I said or whatever, but a business that I was involved in, it was our 20th anniversary, so we went mad and we hired the castle and stayed there and stuff like that. And it was absolutely unbelievable. It was a real fairy tale experience, I have to say.
It's a really special thing to do, isn't it? I mean, you can still stay in the castle now. They've brought that back. They do sort of dine and sleep events where you can go to a murder mystery or something like that and then sleep overnight in one of the rooms. I've done it a couple of times with my husband, and I think he was a bit nervous actually for the first overnight event we went to there. He was saying, "Oh, not sure about this, you know, all the stories you hear about castles." And I said, no, it's not like that at all, you know. You can be in there the last one turning the lights off in the evening. It's not a spooky castle. It's a you know, it's got a lovely feel about it. And
I was saying exactly that to the headless ghoul that came into my room. You'll be fine, don't worry. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. So, as you said, you obviously had a lot of fun. And then sadly, obviously, like so many businesses hit by the pandemic and the lockdown and all the nonsense that's gone on over the last year, of course, loads of us are suffering. Sadly, loads of people are either furloughed, been made redundant, or are waiting to be made redundant. So,
It was quite high redundancy numbers, sadly, for us at the castle. But you know, that's not to say it's been there 900 years. It will be there another 900 years, with or without, you know. As the thing about the staff, I think there is, you know, if everybody's a team, and even if you're not working there, like I said, I'll still be going in all the time with my family. People will be volunteering. You know, things will pick up again. Things will get better. It was a struggle last year, and it was a shock for me, but like I said, it shocked me into sort of building my own business and really taking that next step, that
brings me on to where I want to go next, because that's an interesting issue that you raise, because an awful lot of people actually, those people that are kind of switched on, see something like redundancy as an opportunity to kind of launch out on their own, and obviously you've seen that opportunity and decided to do that. Had you ever run a business yourself before?
No, not really. It's something I've always wanted to do, but you know, maybe a little bit of a lack of confidence. You know, I'm a mum of four kids now. I was a mum of two kids when I was thinking about it. You know, having that time off, when you do have babies, you know, trying to go back and get back into it, especially within the field of marketing and PR, you know, it's so fast moving, everything changes so quickly. So you do feel a little bit out of it when you finally come back to work. You know, with social media as well, everything changes daily. You have so much to keep up with and keep on top of. It wasn't something I've done before. Like you say, I did sort of see an opportunity there, because there is a big difference between marketing and PR. Yeah. I think a lot of people, this, as far as I'm concerned, this pandemic has kind of given PR its moment to shine. Right. It seems to have played second fiddle to marketing in a lot of businesses for a long, long time. You know, a lot of companies will have in-house marketing teams, but won't have considered somebody to do their PR, and they won't fully understand why they need that or what it is that they need. But you know, we've all had to adapt so much in this last year. And yeah. I think PR has come into its own, and it's actually, you know, sort of great PR tells a story about real lives. You know, it elicits that sort of emotional response and leaves that lasting memory. And, you know, it's not all about pay for advertising and that sort of sales message. So, yeah. You know, I think now more than ever, businesses, brands need to be focusing on communication with their customers rather than just the sell.
yeah, absolutely. There's two avenues I want to pursue with you, Gemma, if I may. One is what you've just been saying, is to understand the role of PR, understand the changing role of PR in a changing world, and get a handle on that. And then I also want, if you don't mind, just to talk about your experiences of launching a business.
Of course,
because for our listeners, our listener base are mostly micro and small business owners, and there's lots of people out there that listen to the show that are still contemplating the idea of starting on their own. So hearing someone's experiences of doing it is very valuable to them, because, you know, it gives them a view that they're not in this on their own, and, you know, the things that aren't working for them kind of don't work for any of us, or the things that do work. Yeah. But sure. Let's go back to PR itself first. Can you, and you made a very succinct point there, but about the difference between PR and marketing. Yeah. And that there is a subtle difference between those two things. So for you, what is PR? You know, a lot of us that are knocking on in years, we remember we remember PR, not you, me, I mean, we remember PR back in the day when it was sending press releases to the local newspaper. Which don't really exist anymore, or where they do, nobody reads them. So why don't you give the listeners your view on what a modern PR service is?
Of course. I think, I mean, PR fundamentally is about the way a company communicates with the public and the press. Mm. So in a nutshell, and as I was saying, you know, it really tells a story, as far as I'm concerned. You know, there's a lot of companies out there at the moment doing really good things during these really difficult times. But what's the point if they're not telling anybody about it? Sure. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's about having those sort of creative solutions, but maybe without necessarily the big marketing budget. Yep. So, you know, PR can be low cost. It can be delivered quickly. And I think that's a key thing here, where I certainly saw a kind of space for me to launch my business, in that, you know, not all marketing is sort of set up for speed, whereas PR can, you know, you can capture, read and capture the mood and the zeitgeist of what's going on at the moment, sure. and you can respond really fast. You know, I've noticed just in the last few months since I launched myself, and I've been working with different clients, that actually there's been such fast changing briefs. You know, it used to be that you were given a brief, you know, you'd work on it for a long, long time, put all these ideas together, and then finally go out there and launch it. But that's not the case now with the way things are at the moment. You know, you're given a brief, and then half an hour later it's changed again because something else has popped up in the news, or, you know, something.
You're absolutely right, Gemma. We live in such a fast-paced world where change happens in hours, whereas years ago it happened in years. You know, and trying to adapt to that is incredibly difficult.
That's it.
A couple of things I want to ask you there about what you were saying. I mean, one of the things that I love about business is storytelling, and I think what you're saying is that the art of PR is storytelling. to some
absolutely
extent. Would that be true?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's why so many people that have worked in journalism end up then going into public relations, you know, and the other way around. It's, there's definitely an overlap there, and it is being able to to be able to communicate the message of your business, but through telling the story rather than just firing out your USPs or whatever, you know, to try and get that message across.
Yeah. Back in the day, most PR, most stories, most things put out would go in the press or in the media, be that on a newspaper or a radio station or a TV station. Of course, in the last 10 years, I guess, we've developed this whole social media thing, which is now huge, absolutely huge. In fact, they run the world, apparently. what impact has that had, social media had, on the PR industry as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, massive. I mean, when I started in PR, social media, it didn't exist, you know, so we've all had to learn it, adapt to it. Every day there's a new site that you have to, you know, get your head around. They're all great tools, and it all supports, we all support each other. I think, you know, I certainly find social media probably easier because of my background in PR, because putting together content comes naturally to me, whereas sure. some people that have to manage and run social media accounts that have no background in sort of the marketing PR area, you know, they must think, well, where do we start, you know, where do you get this content, these ideas from in the first place?
Absolutely. You see it all the time, don't you? People arrive on social media, especially Twitter, and you know, they'll throw out a few hellos, and then all of a sudden they'll dry up, and then they'll just go, do you want to buy something? That's it, you know?
Exactly.
And then when nobody buys anything, they go away.
That's it. I think you know, social media can hold hands nicely with PR. I mean, if you think just as an example, this is a great example though, Captain Tom last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, his NHS fundraising campaign was told entirely through PR and social media. It was purely editorial and social supported. I mean, you tell me a paid for campaign or an outdoor advertising campaign that could sort of, in these times that we're going through, could match those results, you know, and raise over 30 odd million pounds.
Absolutely.
In that way, I mean, it just shows that the power of PR. Yeah. And you know, there's been so many examples, I think, sorry to go off on a tangent now, but you know, just thinking about this last year that we've had, you know, that there's been things. I mean, I know I've had Joe Wicks on my telly every morning with the kids while I've been homeschooling. I mean, there's a man who knows his market, you know. He's absolutely hit the nail on the head, and some fantastic PR from him. You wouldn't necessarily look at Joe Wicks and think, well, there's a sort of textbook example of a great PR campaign, you know. But if you sort of you look at what he's done, how he's done it, you know, very, very clever. All these free kids workouts, you know, encouraging exercise. He really knows his market. And I read an article about him in, I think it was back in January, and it said something like he made more than £9 million in 1 week through subscriptions to his app, you know. And that is off the back of all of these free PE with Joe Wicks sessions and things that he's been doing. The parents have been pulled in, and now, you know, he's a household name. I mean, he got an MBE, didn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are so many examples of how you can use it in a social media context, isn't there? I mean, absolutely. I don't know if you recall, back in the middle of last year, there was a spat unfolded on Twitter. I think it was Tetley Tea Company and a lady called Sue, who tried to get them cancelled because some politician had drunk their tea or something. And whoever was doing their social media account one day went, Sue, you're shouting at a tea bag. Yeah. And that,
yeah.
And that became a meme, and that just took off like nobody's business.
Exactly.
And, yeah, so it shows you, if you can manage something like that, even in a negative phase, you can you can move it on, turn it round, and make something different of it.
Yeah. I think, and that is so true. You know, brands, businesses now more than ever really do have the chance to kind of, it sounds a bit cheesy, but to win people's hearts and minds, to actually do more than just sort of broadcast sales messages through advertising channels. You know, this is an opportunity for them to sort of build trust and loyalty with their audience. You know, we're in such uncertain times that word trust is key, you know, and PR can really convey that message. You know, there were a lot of companies during the pandemic that I've kind of seen that have really used their resources to sort of help people get through this this crisis. And that, you know, it's clever PR. It's you know, the supermarkets have been feeding the nation. You know, gyms have been doing sort of home workout classes, things like this that have kept people going. I mean, one of my favourite, Burberry, for example, given £500,000 to start producing PPE. I mean, if someone had told us that was going to happen 2 years ago, you'd thought, you know, they were bonkers. But
absolutely.
It just shows, you know, and that's all that messaging of these companies doing this, you know. Airbnb, when they announced they were going to give free rooms to frontline workers and NHS staff, you know, went viral. You know, great PR for them, you know, and again, building loyalty, building trust with their audience base.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You've convinced us over the need for PR.
Totally good.
What I'd like to spend the last few, we've only got a few minutes left of the interview. What I'd like to spend a bit of time doing, if you don't mind, is just understanding your experiences in terms of starting a business and working for yourself and working on your own. I'm assuming it's just you at the moment.
Just me at the moment.
You haven't put the twins on anything. They're not on.
I'll give them a couple of months and I'll find them a job.
So if I can ask, when you made the decision, when exactly did you make the decision to start on your own?
So my story is probably slightly less inspiring than I'd like it to be, because as I say, I was kind of pushed before I jumped for through redundancy. But I think it is about taking the opportunity.
Absolutely.
When you have it and thinking, well, it's sink or swim. What am I going to do? You know, if I don't do it now, I'm probably never going to do it. I'll find another job, and I'll kind of always wonder, well, what if? So you know, I'm still on maternity leave, but very much not relaxing and doing what I should be doing on my maternity leave, because I'm launching my own business. But I was fortunate in that over the sort of decade I'd spent at the castle, I built up some great contacts. So people have sort of come to me and said, can you, you know, given COVID, people have needed that extra support. So for me, you know, I've had people approach me saying, can you help us? Not quite sure what we need or how we need to do it, but can you help us?
So yeah, absolutely.
I've been fortunate enough to be able to launch myself sort of that way. But it takes a lot of confidence, especially when you're a mum and you're balancing you know, four kids, two babies, two kids. The homeschooling, thank goodness, has come to an end and they finally got back to school, although we've only got 2 weeks until Easter. But, you know, it's something I would say anybody on that edge, not quite sure, as I was, you know, I was given the push that I needed, and I would like to, even if it's just one other person I can inspire to sort of give them that little nudge. Here it is, you know, go for it, do it, because you can take some real positives from this awful time that we've all been going through.
Absolutely, yeah. No, absolutely. That is a powerful message. It is a very powerful message, you know. If these things arrive in your life, don't they? And you can go one of two ways. And, you know, if you make the right decision, you can move into something completely different. And in all honesty, I own a number of businesses now. My biggest business I started when I was made redundant. It happens, and you know, nothing's forever, whatever way you look at it. So you know, when these things arrive in your life, it's a point where you know you're kind of being forced to make a decision, and therefore you know you can make a decision in the full knowledge that you had to do something. So it's a, as you said, it's a push. Gemma, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. If people want to find out more about Black Swan PR, what's the best way to do that?
Probably have a look at my Facebook page. So it's Black Swan PR on Facebook. At Black Swan PR Gemma is my handle. Okay. I'm on Instagram as well, so you can find all my contact details through there.
Fantastic. Gemma, thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show. We wish you continued success with both the family and the business.
Thank you so much.
And we look forward to catching up with you again later in the year to find out how it's going.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye for now.
Take care. Bye.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Welcome back. That was the lovely Gemma Wright from Black Swan PR there. I had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson talking about Gemma's interview there. Redundancy can initially be like a form of bereavement for many. She says, me included, after 20 years with one company. Interesting that so many go on, me included, to see it as an opportunity for the entrepreneurial spirit to shine. Absolutely. I mean, it is a huge loss at the time when you're made redundant, especially if you've been with an organisation for a long time, and especially if you enjoyed working for that organisation. But like a lot of things, something like that, it's a bit like the pandemic at the moment, really. Circumstances can force us to act in a way that we may not have acted under other circumstances, if you see what I mean. So it's that unfortunate things that actually spur us into taking some action. And so many people, when faced with being made redundant, actually do turn to running their own business. I suppose, and that's because one, they may have been out of the job market for a long time if they've worked for one employer for a long time. Two, there's normally some redundancy money around, so that gives you a little bit of savings to actually rely on while you start a new business. So many of us do that. So, yeah, thank you for that, Tracy. And Darren of Intune PR is saying, yeah, my business started when I was made redundant. He said I was 43 at the time too. Absolutely. Redundancy it's not always a bad thing, although it seems like it at the time that it happens. But for a lot of people, it gives them the necessary impetus to go and start a business. And it certainly has with Gemma. And like so many people, she's had a very interesting time starting a business in a pandemic whilst pregnant with twins and homeschooling some toddlers. So, yeah, life's never easy, is it? And if you can survive under those circumstances, you can survive under anything. So we wish Black Swan PR continued and success and much luck for the future. What should we do? Well, I'll tell you what, I caught up with the Jules person again as well. So I'll tell you what, why don't we hear what Jules has had to say?
It's that time of the week again when we join the lovely Jill Serkin for a quick catch-up. Hello.
I hope you edit that cough that I did at the
beginning. Oh, it was a cough. I wondered what the noise was.
This is the trouble, Paul Andrews, because...
The thing is, now I've got to leave it in, otherwise they won't know what they're talking about. But now it's got to stay.
You see, I'm
not sure it was a cough, to be honest.
It didn't
sound like a cough.
In the studio, listener, of course, we get a big green on air, a big red on air light, don't we?
Yeah.
But of course, when you're on Zoom, I don't really look at the top left corner of my screen that says recording and a little red dot. Anyway, it was a cough. I'm having a lot of trouble with my breathing at the moment. And of course, there's just, you know, we're just not phoning our doctors, are we? My breathing's been bad for a while. But I think
I'll tell you what exacerbates that is wearing a mask.
Well, yeah, but wearing a mask, my thyroid, it could be my thyroid medication, which I'm tweaking, and it could be many things. But until I see a doctor, my mother, who, as you know, Ruth, is 90, has COPD from passive smoking in the swinging 60s, when she used to work at the Conservative Club for what women used to call in the 60s, pin money. Isn't that a funny thing?
Yeah.
To buy pins. Yes, because, you know, women weren't supposed to work. I think she was the first woman in the sort of village to get her own car. My dad was very proud to buy her a car. It was a Morris Minor 1000. You know, the little jelly molds.
It wasn't true of everybody not working. My great-grandmother was an entrepreneur. She owned a chain of shops.
Wow. Well, where was she born?
Ireland.
Okay, so what kind of shops?
Tobacconist, newsagent, sweet shops.
Wow, lovely.
She had a chain of six and a hardware store.
You know what? I'm a big fan of a hardware store.
Yeah.
So you can just go in and ask for something and they'll root round and find it, won't they?
Four candles.
Whereas if you go to, you know, B&Q, you run up and down the aisles for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Then you decide you need someone to help you find which light bulb is just absolutely so many to choose from. And then you spend another hour looking for someone with a badge on, but there aren't anyone. So
and the hardware stores, they wear those little brown shop coats.
Exactly, you know where you are, and they'll pop out, and then if they haven't got it, they'll order it in for you.
Do you know, when I was 16, 17, I worked in a motor factors in Maidstone called Crows in Union Street, and I had a little brown coat, and used to stand, as the boy, it was my job to go and get stuff off the shelves. So Harry, who was the guy at the front, people would come in and they'd go, can I have 14... half-inch Whitworth bolts, please. And he'd go and get the bolts, lad. And I'd have to get the ladder, climb up the rack, find the bolts, bring them back. He'd then count them out and put them in a bag and sell them. It was lovely.
It is lovely. I have a lovely vision of you in that little brown coat.
Yeah.
And then you got promoted from there and started going up chimneys, didn't you?
Absolutely.
In Medway.
Yeah.
As a rat catcher or something?
No, that was my first job. Rat catching was my first job. This was my second job after I got made redundant from rat catching.
Just to tell you, if you've just tuned into the Business Bunker for your first time, there is a whole back catalogue of Paul Andrews' various jobs, starting off in 1066 when he was at the Battle of Hastings.
Exactly, yeah. I've had quite a few jobs in my time, I have to tell you.
Well... so very interesting week we've had. And as I was saying off air, we've sort of, you know, I try not to watch the news every night because it's just too much. But I tuned in yesterday and it's like, I just feel like we're, you know, it's a year, isn't it, of lockdown almost. And
next week. It's a year next week. Three weeks to flatten the curve next week.
And I just feel like, you know, I watch the news and we've done so exceptionally well with this vaccine. I mean, we really are. It's been amazing for all the other awful cock-ups that we've had, which have been, you know, had us screaming at the screen and screaming at the government and Sage and all these people.
Yeah.
we were doing really well with the vaccine, and now we hear there's a shortage. And I just feel like we really need to take manufacturing back into the UK. And
yeah, but don't believe the politicians. I mean, AstraZeneca has said today there is no shortage, that they've got
really
plenty. Yeah, they said we've got plenty of supplies.
Well, the mind boggles. I don't know what happens, and I can't keep up. But I heard it was made in India. I also thought that we were making the Novavax in Teesside. And I've been tweeting about it today. You can follow me on @Jules.
But like everything, you know, people take these things without really understanding the process. Most items that are manufactured aren't manufactured in one place. They're assembled in one place. Manufacturing moves around the world, and also it depends on who's done the latest run. So you might manufacture part of a product in India, say, this week, and next week they haven't, their production cycle's not in the right place, so you'll source it from Norway. It's what's called just-in-time processes. Yeah, you acquire the various components from all over the place, and you bring them into one place and assemble them and send them out.
Which is why so many people, if I'm always trying to buy British, and I was looking at door knobs, as you do, and it said, sent out, distributed in the UK.
Yeah,
it's made in India.
Yeah, you know, the problem is with this is it's nice to support local industry, but there's no such thing, not really. You know, everything's a global industry these days. You source components from all over the world, you put them together somewhere, and then you stick a label on it that says, you know, made in the Isle of Wight. But of course, it wasn't made in the Isle of Wight. It came from all over the place and it was assembled there. It really doesn't make a lot of difference, to be honest.
Well, I was quite excited to see that the BBC are moving up north a bit more and to save money, obviously. But I've always said it would be so good and so important to not just concentrate everything into London.
Yeah, well, the government are moving out a lot of departments, aren't they? The Treasury's moving to Glasgow.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
And one of the other government departments is going to Darlington, I think.
Well, there was Teesside as well, and I was tweeting Teesside. Do you know how to spell Teesside?
Yeah, just T-E-E.
And?
S-I-D-E. Teesside.
I got pulled up. It's actually a double S. Who knew?
Double S? No.
Yeah. T-E-E, double S-I-D-E. I got pulled up on Twitter by someone that's the whole raison d'être, my French accent there, is telling people off for spelling it the wrong way. Right. And I'm bamboozled. Unless it's a spoof.
No, I just Googled it. You're absolutely right. There's a double S.
Isn't it bizarre?
Yeah.
An extra S.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody knew.
It's tying T's, but it doesn't make sense. It's Teesside.
Teesside, yeah. Anyway.
You're absolutely right. I never knew that.
No, I never knew that. So there you are. But I'm really excited. And I've always said, you know, when I see our youngsters who are graduates and they're paying off their student loans, which I'm always rambling on about, extortionate rates of interest, and they're all, so many of them, in London, paying, thousands of rent.
But the problem is that London's a happening place, though, isn't it? And
so can Glasgow be, and so can Teesside be.
Well, Manchester or Glasgow are all similar, but you're going to be paying the same kind of money in Manchester and Glasgow, yeah? Youngsters tend to gravitate towards places that are hot spots and entertainment spots. Going to Salford in Manchester is going to be as expensive as parts of London, and parts of Glasgow are expensive as parts of London because it's an attraction.
To get
the benefit of cheaper housing and cheaper living, you need to move to
Scunthorpe.
Yeah, or somewhere in East Anglia or something, or South Wales. The only trouble with those places are they don't have as many jobs, you know.
I think one of them is moving to Wales, actually, one of the BBC. It might be Radio 6 or something. Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of people, of course, moaning because they've got kids in schools and things. But, you know, I think it's great. I think it's very, yeah, proactive.
We should always have distributed government around the country. There's yeah. In this day and age, in the 21st century, with data, with digital communication, there's no reason why you can't have it spread around the whole UK. And exactly. It might actually encourage them to make our bloody broadband work as well.
I really think if the Queen is listening, that she should uproot Buckingham Palace and go up to.
What do you mean if? What do you mean if the Queen is listening? The Queen listens every week to the Bunker Show. It's one of her most favourite shows. We're going to get a knighthood out of this. Trust me.
Now Philip's out. I'm sure they're curled up together listening with a couple of doggies.
They're catching up. See, he's been in hospital for a few days, so they're catching up with the listen again.
Well, it's 2:15, and they're probably having a little bit of shortbread and, you know, a cup of tea served by the butler at the moment.
Afternoon tiffin.
Exactly.
Cucumber sandwiches with a crust cut off.
I do love it. Oh, you know what? I've just ordered hot cross buns have just arrived at our house.
Really?
Hot cross buns. Yeah, I'm preparing for Easter, and they're delicious. They're from Riverford. They're absolutely delicious. I'm not even allowed to have them.
Hold on. When's Easter, then?
I don't know. So it was banned, isn't it? We're not allowed to have Easter, are we?
Yeah, but if you're getting the hot cross buns now, aren't they going to be stale by the time Good Friday comes around?
Listen, it arrived at 10:30 and it was in my gullet by the
Oh, you've eaten them already?
Smeared with butter.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, that's it. I'm not even supposed to have gluten, so, you know, my husband's furious with me.
And then you're saying you're having problems breathing. And you've been eating 400 weight of gluten before. Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's the first thing my doctor will say. Have you eaten gluten?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just say I'm in lockdown. I've bitten all my nails. I've eaten every biscuit I can find. And, I was fine at the beginning of lockdown.
Do you know what? I love a ginger nut.
I like a ginger nut and a chocolate hobnob.
I don't do chocolate hobnobs, so I just do hobnobs.
Oh, well, see, I like the chocolate on the top. No. I even like the dark chocolate.
Because I like a dunk.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with the chocolate?
If you dunk chocolate, it all melts off into your tea or coffee.
I don't mind that. I don't mind any. Do you know what I did last night? No. I was at a low ebb. It was about 9 o'clock and the house was freezing. We got the north wind blowing in. And as you know, we've got old windows at the front.
Yeah.
New windows at the back, but old ones at the front.
Rattlers.
So I'm on my second architect at the moment, but that's another bunker story. The wind was rattling in. I was freezing. I'd had about 85 layers on, you know, my vest and all my woolies and socks.
It was a cold and windy night and the wind was rattling through my windows.
It was dark. And I made this delicious hot chocolate, Paul Andrews, with an organic cacao, coconut milk, also organic, a bit of water in the coconut milk because it's quite rich and creamy to eke it out a bit more. And I put in a little tot of rum.
You had a melted bounty bar, a melted bounty bar in a slug of rum. Right, okay, got it.
It was delicious. And and I watched a Netflix thing, which was one of those six parts, which I've watched over three nights. The new husband was working, so I can watch something girly. And drove me mad because the last one of the series didn't even have an ending. So I feel like I've wasted three nights, had no ending.
Well, they probably left it hanging for the next series, haven't they?
Well, exactly. But how long am I going to wait? Which time I'll have forgotten what it was all about anyway.
And then you have to watch it all over again.
I know. And also what annoys me is English actors set in England, which I love. I love an English drama, but they're speaking American, and you know that gets my goat.
Yeah.
So they're saying things like, I would like for you. We don't say I would like for you, do we?
Well, we do now.
Well, we don't put a four in it. We'd say, I'd like you.
We do now.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure our
American... The reason we do now is because we watch so many American programs.
Please don't say awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read a little email?
That would be awesome. Thank you.
I've gotten some on my screen.
Yeah.
A store left seriously damaged when Ram Raiders smashed into it with a digger. Gosh, what goes on in Cranbrook?
Oh, it's at the co-op in Cranbrook. Yeah, I remember that.
Where is Cranbrook?
It's next to Tenterton.
Okay.
A small town just a couple of miles from Tenterton. They actually destroyed the whole of the front of the supermarket with a digger.
And did they steal things as well?
No, they stole the cash machine.
Seems a bit dramatic just for a cash. I mean, I'd have taken a couple of hobnobs and some ginger biscuits as well.
Wouldn't we all? I was trying to work out, actually, that at the time.
Because, but do they leave cash overnight?
It's in the machine. It's in the cash machine. But a cash machine holds between £45,000 and £120,000, depending on the denomination of notes. And a digger to do that is worth more than the machine that they dug out. They could have just stolen the digger and sold it and made more money. Anyway, carry on.
I mean, who has a digger under their arm anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's left seriously damaged, as we know, in Cranbrook, and they've just unveiled the result of a £1 million makeover. I bet you they've still got tiny little checkouts, which drive me mad.
Well, read the rest of the email.
Designed by a man. But the co-op in Cranbrook High Street was left with a gaping hole at its entrance when, in November 2009, thieves stole money from the cash machine, as Paul Andrews has just alluded to. Now that store bosses have unveiled the results of extensive renovations, which has restored a free-to-use ATM, introduced a bakery, a Costa Coffee Express, other coffees are available elsewhere, hot food counter, and an Amazon parcel collection service. There's also a more spacious layout, and the store supports 70 jobs locally, which is brilliant, and it will also run completely on renewable energy. So there's a man in there running on a treadmill.
Big hamster in the wheel.
But that's good news for Cranbrook, so well done. We'll have to, when we're allowed to, we'll have to go in there and try it out, won't we?
Yeah, I've been there quite a lot. It was a nice store anyway. It was quite spacious and laid out in there in any case. I haven't been in there since they've reopened it following the refurbs, but they've made a big job of it.
Talking about renewable energy, Bunker listeners, the 1st of April, anyone parking their battery electric vehicle in one of Maidstone Borough Council's car parks will be able to park for free for the maximum length of stay permitted in that particular car park using the Ringo app. Which is brilliant news. The concession demonstrates the commitment of the council to meet its climate change target of making the borough carbon neutral. And it also encourages more people to consider electric vehicles. And Councillor David Burton, who's the chair of Strategic Planning and Infrastructure Committee, has said, "We're offering free parking for electric vehicles, and it's an example of what we are doing to improve the air quality around the town centre and across the borough. Electric vehicles eliminate exhaust emissions whilst driving and will help to improve air quality. We're also currently have an 18 pod point charging bays found in various locations in the town centre car parks, which use ticketless machines, and anyone charging their electric car will only need to pay for the electricity and still enjoy free parking. You can find out more about this and the Ringo smartphone app by going to maidstone.gov.uk, home, primary services, parking and streets." So that's a good initiative by Maidstone.
Yeah, absolutely.
We haven't got electric cars yet, you and I, have we?
Not yet. I'm going to get a milk float.
Yeah, well, you've got horses if you want one. You could just clip-clop down Tenterden High Street, couldn't you?
Exactly, yeah.
I think you need a nice little cob. And that's not a loaf, by the way. That's a horse. The shortlist for this year's Taste of Kent Awards has been revealed. It's been organised by local food and drink champion produced in Kent. And the public were invited to nominate their favourites in each of the categories, which I did, actually. It took me ages. And the numbers are we've seen before. 41,000 votes, they say, were counted this year compared to 13,000 last year. So huge difference there. So is this because we're all at home? I don't know.
I guess so, yeah. Well, finalists, I would also imagine, because a lot of us have been shopping local as well.
Possibly,
so,
yeah.
So a lot more people would have been buying local produce, local shops, farmers' shops and local stuff, and have therefore felt inclined to vote for it, I guess.
You might be right. It'd be interesting. I see Paul Babber is there with Rani, his lovely
yeah.
wife,
yeah.
From Carrera, Faversham, Canterbury. Emma from Emma's Kitchen in East Peckham. Ben from Modern Provider in Margate. Eli and Heather from Olby's Soul Cafe in Margate. It's all happening in Margate. And the diversification, there's Foodari Home Delivery, the Meatball Company, and Wild Box. I should have put Ibiza Fitness Food in there, shouldn't I?
Yeah, should have done.
Food and Drink Business of the Year, sponsored by Southeastern, is Cafe Nucleus, Gusbourne, lovely wine, Kent Crisps, delicious, and Sustainable Food and Drink Business of the Year, which is sponsored by Southeastern, is The Curious Eatery, Goopy, and Provenance Potatoes.
Farmer.
Now, I'm talking to Provenance Potatoes, actually, about coming on the Scoff and Quaff show, so that's interesting.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's good. Well done, Taste of Kent. So is it all over, Taste of Kent? Must be.
Yeah.
Too late. Too late to vote now, people.
Yeah, but they haven't announced the final winner, so have they? Because they're just
no.
the finalists.
I did vote for a few local businesses who I won't mention because it sounds like favouritism, but I'm sure you know who most of them are.
Cool. Well, nice. Well, it was good to talk to you. It's good
it was.
To catch up. Do stay safe. We're going to get you back in the studio soon because we're allowed back now, so that'll make life
better. Yeah, well, I've had my jab, and we just keep well apart, don't we?
Yeah, well, I don't come near you anyway.
No, we elbow occasionally.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's because you eat chocolate hobnobs that melt. I'm not having that.
I've eaten them all now, yeah, and the hot cross bun, so...
Oh, blimey.
There's no hope.
Right, anyway... Go on.
See you soon. Yeah, no, speak to you soon. And love to all the lovely Bunker listeners.
Yeah.
Stay safe, everybody.
Okay. Thank you for that. You stay safe and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye for now.
That was a stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin there on a catch-up. And we've had some hilarious memes from Tracy on Four Candles and the two Ronnies. Thank you for that. I just want to leave you with an update on the Southeast Construction Expo. The expo will be live at the South of England Event Centre on the 21st of October 2021. But because they have the technology, they're also going to be live streaming the event. And what that means is if you're exhibiting, you will, in addition to your stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free. So loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you're a visitor, you'll have a fantastic networking opportunities, both live at the expo and by visiting the virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you're attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speakers, there will be live recordings and will be made available to listen again. The Southeast Construction Expo is where you find out major works, projects and investment opportunities. Hear from industry-focused speakers sharing their high-value content. Free meet the buyer with top UK construction companies. Live demos of great new innovative products. How to profit from the many new business new ways of modern construction. You can meet thousands of construction businesses and great networking. If you want to find out more about the expo, you go to their website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk. Or you can drop them an email at info@constructionexpouk.co.uk. So that's the South of England Event Centre over there in Sussex. And it's on the 21st of October 2021, the Southeast Construction Expo. Do look out for that. But I think we've reached the end of another show. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back next week with a great lineup of guests and more news and information for you. In the meantime, stay safe, everybody. Look after yourselves. We'll be back soon and see you all then.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.